And you're going to be disappointed soon. Let's turn to John chapter 1, continue our study in the Gospel of John chapter 1. I think this is about lesson number 11. Not a real positive message. But where the Bible is negative, it's positive. Amen. I mean, how could you appreciate positive if you had no negative? Right? Electrician, isn't that right? I mean, you might, if you only have positive electricity, you don't have positive. You got to have positive with the negative. Amen. All right. Verse 9. I will start in verse 8. Speaking of John the Baptist, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's what we preached on last week. This week, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Father, we thank you one more time for letting us have a book, letting us have a church, letting us have an assembly, letting us have songs. And most of all, letting us have you. And we pray that you just do a work in me, do a work in your people, do a work in your church. Lord, I think about our brethren in Afghanistan, whatever time it is there, Lord. And I pray for our countrymen there, Lord, that you would just be merciful. And Lord, that we as a people, that we as a country, that we as a church might echo the words of Daniel. We have sinned. We have sinned. Be merciful, Lord. Well, bless your word now, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus Christ was rejected by the majority. He was, he is, and he always will be. That's just Bible. You ever stop to think about the sad reality in the manifestation of the human heart to think of God himself coming as a man to earth? God in the flesh spends 33 and a half years in this world, 3.5 years of those public ministry. And when it was all said and done, the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 15 said there was 120. That was the results of the ministry of the sinless Son of God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Was there not enough evidence for who he was? Consider just a few chapters of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verse 6, he heals a man with palsy. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, he heals his mother-in-law. The first pope, Pope Peter, had a mother-in-law. Listen, where the Bible, where the religion departs from the Bible, you got to stick with the Bible. He heals Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16, he casts out devils, and the Bible says that he healed all that were sick. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, he calms the sea. In Matthew 8, chapter 8 and verse 28, he casts out a demon. In chapter 9, he heals another man with palsy. In chapter 9 and verse 3, the religious leaders that he's appealing to acknowledge his miracles. In chapter 9 and verse 20, he heals a woman with an issue of blood. In chapter 9, verse 26, the Bible says that his fame went abroad among all the land. In verse 27 of chapter 9, he gives sight to two blind men. Chapter 9, verse 34, the Pharisees acknowledge the casting out of devils. In chapter 9 and verse 35, the Bible says he heals every sickness and every disease among the people. In chapter 10, verse 8, he extends his ministry beyond himself when he gives his apostles power to do the same. Then Matthew chapter 11, verse 5, the Bible says that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. In chapter 12 and verse 15, we've been 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 5 mere chapters. The Bible says multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, he casts out a devil. Now take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 12. And we'll show you what the results of that was. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Did they really just say that? You know, show us a sign, then we'll believe. Did they really mean that? See, their trouble was not that they didn't see. Their trouble was that they didn't want to see what they were seeing. You know one reason the Bible says the fool has said in his heart that there is no God? Because you have to be a fool to look around and say that there is no God. Man, there's enough God for everyone to see that'll have faith as the grain of a mustard seed to be saved and to walk with God. And we haven't even talked about opening up the Bible yet. You know why so many people remain in spiritual darkness? This is heavy. Because they want to. We've said it 100 times. Men love darkness rather than light. Oh, you know, Junior's just struggling. He's out there in the world, but he's got a good heart. That's usually a mom talking. I appreciate what Brother Havnon said. Oh, Junior's got a good heart. Just keep him away from the kitchen scissors. No, his heart is desperately wicked and he loves evil. Jesus said, Demas hath forsaken me, having what? Just tell it like it is. What's happening? Oh, he just loves the world. Show me some evidence and I'll believe. How about 200 prophecies fulfilled in the life of one man? The city of his birth centuries earlier. You bet those Pharisees knew who this guy was. Details of his birth hundreds of years earlier. Details of his life prophesied about his mother, his ministry, his betrayal, his death, his resurrection. Centuries, yet he comes unto his own, and his own received him not. You know why? They didn't want to. He was the only birth that was ever announced by angels. Don't you know everyone in that region heard about that? I mean, the guy's born and kings come to town. Imagine one of our little babies born here and all of a sudden these dignitaries from around the world. Don't you know that that word spread? Don't you know he was watched growing up as a boy? See, what I'm trying to help you with is meditation, like the preacher preached this morning. You know, we've heard, I think Dylan said it was 100,000 times since he was 5 years old. If you don't read your Bible every day, you're not going to make it. I take a little bit of issue if you don't meditate. Because I've heard many a wayward young son and daughter say, I read my Bible. Yeah, but you're not hungering for God. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under. You don't think that left a mark? We're getting ready. We're coming up on 9/11. We're coming up on the 20-year memorial. 3,000 people died. I think 144,000 died back there. You can read about that in Jeremiah chapter 31. Rachel weeping for her children because they are not, but the Bible says, but they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Where are you going to find 144,000 male virgin Jews in the book of Revelation? Maybe right there, but that's a message for another day. Don't you know that no one in that generation forgot that? He's the only boy in his class for years. If they walked across the stage in his class, he's the only one walking across the stage. At age 12, he's confounding the doctors and the lawyers. Say, what's a 12-year-old doing in there? Ain't no other kids to play with his age. He turns 30 years old, and he begins to minister, and immediately he turns water to wine. Don't you think that word spread? Meets a woman of Samaria, calls her sins in detail. Man, I just read that the other day. I marvel every time. He says, go call your husband. She goes, I don't have a husband. She don't know who she was talking to. He says, yeah, you're right. You don't have a husband. You had five of them. The one you're living now, you're shacking up with. That's not very seeker sensitive, is it? And she says, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And I'm like, yeah, think so? And she gets saved and she goes to the town and she tells, you got to see, this man told me everything I ever did. And all these guys get saved. He walked on water. He calmed the maniacs. He calmed the tempest. He calmed the harlots. And after all that, his own received him not. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? You ever feel that way? Is anybody believing anymore? Master, we would see a sign from thee. No, you won't. You've seen all kinds of signs. The facts of secular human... I hear people on the street, you know, well, Jesus was a myth. Really, I just tell them, look, I'm not a mean guy, I'm a nice guy, but you're really revealing your ignorance. There was a man named Jesus who turned the calendar over. You ever stop to think about that calendar? B.C. and A.D., before Christ and Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. You ever stop to think how many times a day a lost man is confronted with that date? He picks up the newspaper, if anyone picks those up anymore. They should call it old's paper now. I mean, if you have internet, I mean, my father-in-law is the only one on the planet that still gets the daily paper. And the prices... And bam, there's that date, the year of our Lord. And he picks up his smartphone and bam, there's that date, the year of our Lord. His very days are dated from the year of our Lord. And he goes in the fridge and he looks at the expiration date on the sour cream and boom, there's the year of our Lord. And he signs his last will and testament, and there's the year of our Lord. He can't get a fishing license, a hunting license, an automobile license, a marriage license, or a building pit permit without being confronted by the year of our Lord. He can't even, the poor guy can't even have a birthday party with all his atheist friends without dating his birthday from the year of our Lord. Yet he comes unto his own receive him not. Oh, if man the evolutionist just flicker. He's got a little flicker, and if you just fan it, he'll turn into a bright flame. No, he won't. He'll cut your throat and take your wife's purse as fast as he saw you. His own received him not. So you know what our evolved, advanced, higher institutions of advanced learning have come up with, will change B.C. and A.D. to C.E. and B.C.E. That stands for the Common Era and before the Common Era. Ask your kids that go to secular schools if that's not the case. Supporters of the Common Era alternative say that it is unfair to listen to this. To force a religious system on those who do not share its values. But it's okay to force a perverted system on those that don't share its values. It's okay to force gender neutralism on people who don't support its values, that pay the same taxes as everybody else. But it's okay to force that. But listen. Indeed, many of those using the current ADBC system do not do so out of choice, but out of several centuries of the Western world's political, cultural, and often military domination. By replacing the words Anno Domini, meaning year of our Lord, with the more neutral Common Era, It is argued that the calendar system becomes less offensive and less, listen to this, culturally damaging. Oh, yeah. Haven't we damaged culture since we got rid of the Lord? More killing, more violence, more crazy, more drugs, more divorce, more wickedness, more evil. Less culturally damaging? Too many, the change has become the epitome of political correctness gone mad. Do I have a witness? Let me tell you, there's nothing common about the year of our Lord. I tell you, if I was in that, I wish I could go back being saved. I wish I could be in secular college now being saved. What an opportunity. You just said BCE and CE. What does that stand? Oh, that stands for before the common era and the common era. And I would say, what event changed it to the common era? Come on, you kids in university. Have some guts for Jesus. If all you go do and get a degree and don't get no fruit and don't get no witness, we have failed God and man. That stands for the common era. Well, what changed it? And if common is this time and before the common is that time, would that make before the common era uncommon? And if it would make it uncommon, isn't that kind of offensive to those poor people that lived back then? What a nut house this world has become. And I'll tell you why they changed it. Because he came unto his own. And I'm using it in the sense of creation. And his own received him not. And it's not enough for them. It's not enough for them that they don't believe. It drives them crazy that you believe. Not for lack of evidence. Not for lack of evidence in creation and evidence in the conscience and evidence. I'll tell you why. Men love darkness. That's why we had to get rid of Jesus. Because he was the true light that shined in the face of religion, which is worse than sodomy all day long. This heathen goes to work and he passes five churches on the way to work with crosses on them every day. He gets on the subway and you could tell Bill Rowe was sitting there. There's a chick track on every seat. He gets to work and the secretary has a cross around her neck. Another radical wears a scripture shirt. He works with a black preacher who has an inner city house church that talks about Jesus all day long. A relative gets saved and turns their life right side up. How are you going to explain a drunk stop drinking, a wife beater stop beating, a whore stop whoring from the influence of a life of someone that they've never seen? Yet with all this, he came unto his own. Isn't that a shame? Show us a sign. I've had him say that. Have you ever seen God? Brother, how much more do you have to see? Well, if God would come down, he did. We're riding on these trips across this country, and man, they got, especially in the South, you don't see it here. Well, you see it sometimes, kind of watered down a little bit. Huge billboards on the interstate. You know, five commandments here, and then another mile, the next five commandments, and then the next mile, Christ died for our sins. Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. I said to my wife, can you imagine how many multiplied millions see the Word of God every single day in this country? Young people in those cars, old people in those cars, families in those cars, murderers in those cars, rapists in those cars, atheists in those cars, priests and paupers, rich and poor. Talk. See that when you hold that little sign on the scripture? out in the street. That's why you don't see that. I like they think we're a spectacle and they pull the phone. I say, get it right here. Put it on TikTok, Instagram, clickety-clock, whatever you put it on. Can I get a picture with you? Yeah, man. Tell them you got a picture with a New York preacher. Come on. One day those books are going to be open. And they're going to be judged by that man. In the day when the secrets of men, those little conversations that went on in that car. I didn't know. Oh, you didn't? Let's rewind the tape. You know many conversations. Listen, if for nothing else, I'm gonna put a stop sign before hell in this nation. Because the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Does it work? Yeah, it works in not letting them forget. Preacher, why are you saying all this? I'm trying to get you, especially you younger generation, to keep going in spite of rejection. He came unto his own and his own received him not. Don't change your method. Do it the way Jesus did. Don't turn your church into a bar room because you're trying to get around this biblical truth that he came unto his own and his own received him not. Well, if we just serve mixed drinks, we can get around this and we'll win them for being like them. They'll win you. Just keep telling the old story. You know what rejection does? It makes you more like Jesus. And I'm not welcoming it. I was interviewed when we were down there, and I don't know what they're putting this thing on, but they said, you know, a lot of people, churches don't do public ministry. And I said, the biggest problem with public ministry is public ministers. For some reason, I got to be frothing at the mouth and mad and screaming and look like I came out of a cave. But I want to say this. What's the first attribute? If I put this little phrase out here, holy man. What kind of man comes to your mind? Holy woman. What do you picture? Let me give you a little tip. Because I know what a lot of our stripe would picture. Holiness and godliness is not all about hemlines and haircuts and hitting the note. Although I'm for it. Real holiness is about letting the hidden man out. And you know where he likes to come out? He likes to come out of your mouth. See, the Bible says, holy men of God. You don't know what they're wearing. You don't know what they're singing. In fact, if you were John the Baptist, you look like a kook. You know anyone who just can't shut up about Jesus? You know what God will say? There's a holy one right there. Because I'm telling you, you got all that other stuff in line and you don't open, you can forget about being called holy. And when you add that to your list of distinctives and standards of separation, and you open up that mouth, now you're going to start being more like Jesus, and now you're going to understand what he said, that I might know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. And the power of his... Everybody wants the power, but nobody wants the fellowship. I want a fellowship with God. I want to walk with God. Be careful. Flesh ain't going to like it. In this entire mega Chuck E. Cheese church has tried to just engineer this away. We must be doing something wrong. How could anyone reject our Jesus? He came unto his own. Received. Now, I'm not saying to be mean on purpose or nasty on purpose, but I'm going to tell you, you open your mouth for Jesus Christ and you'll find out what they think of you. And I don't care what your church does. You could hand $20 bills to everyone that comes in the door. You, when they ask you what your stand is on homosexuality, that's why across the board, everyone's shrinking. One of the guys was on the street and the girl said, you're preaching to the wrong generation. We're atheists. And I said, you should have told her that's why I'm here. I'm preaching to the right generation. You ever been rejected by lost family? You heard Dylan say it. Most of you haven't had to deal with that. We did. I remember my mother-in-law sitting back there Sunday. You just got to go back to church. You just went this morning. You know what that Bible says? Neither did his brethren believe on him. A man's foes shall be those of his own household. I'm telling you, don't try to skirt rejection. If God brings that your way, embrace it. You'll get to know him better. And if you've never suffered, and if you've never suffered rejection, if you've never been scorned, you miss an element of knowing him. And I don't know about you, I want to know him. A prophet is without honor in his own country. I remember marveling the church I came from, and my pastor, there was 1,000 people in that building. And his own, I think they got, at least his mom got saved eventually. His own parents weren't saved. I'm a young baby Christian. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding. A guy with all the God on him that this guy's got. A prophet. You could win the world, but you can't win that family. You know what they did? He came unto his own. His own received him not. Jesus knows what you're going through, but better yet, now you know what he's going through, and you can know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And it wasn't his haircut or hemlines that did it. It was what he said that got him in trouble. You can live like a nun in a convent. Just keep your mouth shut and the world will tolerate you. Listen, you that are going off to college, don't wait. Start right off. I see the Robinsons are on vacation, so I'm going to pick on Joshua. Because I know he's not a cool fool skipping school like some of you. You know, Josh is kind of straight. He's kind of loud. Now, he's a good athlete. But I know what some of you think. Oh, man, you know, Josh. Let me tell you, in the bold ranking, most of you cool fools skipping school wouldn't put a patch on his spiritual knee. We went on a mission trip to those Indians out there in Arizona. I turn around in the plane. He's blocking the aisle with his Bible open with a sinner in the airplane. Sorry, Josh. He's a geek, huh? Not as cool as you, huh? I dare you to even think about doing what he does. Walk in class first day. Make America repent again. But you're cool. A friend of the world is the enemy of God. Whosoever who you're ashamed of him cannot be my disciple. Whosoever believes in him should not be ashamed. Here's what he said. He said, if the world hate you, does the world hate you or does the world love you? Now there's a balance. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. But friends, we're in the conversion business. And when you start to present Jesus Christ the way he presented himself, and the way his apostles, well, he had to die and that was all prophet. Okay, what about his apostles? Did they have to die? If they were out to plant Chuck E. Cheese churches, why did they all die? You know what this says? You're wrong and he's right. Just be a messenger. Just be a voice crying in the wilderness. Well, if we could just kind of alter it and re-engineer it and re-architect it, maybe something will change. Maybe you'll get your head in a basket. He was a voice. And guess who shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration? There's old John. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, do you believe that? Jesus said, the reason they hate me is because I testify of the world that its works are evil. And here's what I'm guilty of. When the world hates me because I open my mouth, I have a hissy fit. This little twerp goes by yesterday with his little McDonald's coffee. Hail Satan! Get out of that car! No. I'm thinking, you little twerp, I was sinning before you was even in a
Hail Satan.
Oh, I'm going to go run for the hills. I like what Dave Hamp said. You're serving a loser. You didn't read the end of the story. You know what those apostles did when they were persecuted, when they were jailed, when they were beaten, when they were stoned? It says they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Bring it on. Woohoo! If you listen to this, you that are going out to university, you that are going out to work, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And let me tell you, the world will love you all day long, Christian, until you open your mouth for Jesus Christ. What does the seeker sensitive do with that? I like that verse that said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's the seeker I'm looking to please. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. They have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my namesake, because they know not him that sent me. Listen, when you live like Jesus and you speak like Jesus, you are going to remind people of Jesus, and that is going to get you in trouble. How's this for depressing? Let's get Romans 12. Like Stephen said, I want to end on a good note. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 1. He stole my butt message back there. Romans 12. Let me say this before I get to that. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, verse 1, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Did you hear that? Acceptable. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, and say it with me. Acceptable. Now go to 1 Corinthians 12. Acceptable. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 1. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 1. Oh, I'm talking about the pinnacle of living right here, if we could come to this place. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Don't try to outwise God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know what the pinnacle is, in my own opinion, as a believer trying to walk with God and get through this world, is when I get to the point where all that matters is pleasing Jesus. Well, don't get too preachy. I'm going to tell you who said that to you. Not Jesus. It pleased God. And when we say preaching, ladies and children and gentlemen, it doesn't always mean this. The Bible said that Ethiopian eunuch was sitting there reading his Bible, and Philip came up there. He said, you understand what you're reading? He said, no, I really can't, except some man guide me. And he said, where the place that he read, and he says he picked up right at that place. Can you do that with your Bible? Can you do that in the Levitical law and preach unto them Jesus? Can you do that with Abraham and Isaac on the hill and preach unto them Jesus? Can you do that with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and preach unto them Jesus? You ought to be able to. And he says, and he began to preach unto him Jesus. Now, I don't think he said, ah, Bible! Preaching is just conveying the truth. Here's what Peter said. They said, you can't talk about this. And he said, listen, we cannot but testify of the things which we have both seen and heard. And I think there's a whole lot of people that are afraid to tell the old story because they've really not seen and heard anything. And Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And he's the one we love, and he's the one we fear, and he's the one who saved us. So I'm going to speak up for him. Now, you that are going out there, there is not yet a law that says you cannot speak in this name. But I'm going to tell you what you're going to find at your university and your workplace. You're going to find this unwritten thing. And if you watch the news or listen for 5 minutes, don't you dare speak in that name. And you're going to feel it. And you know what you're going to do if you're either going to please God or please man. And if you break that law, you're going to get in trouble. But I'm telling you, there's no kind of trouble like Jesus' trouble. That's the faith life. That's the interesting life. I don't want to point you out, sis. I'm not going to. But here's, does it work? I don't know how this happened yesterday. Miss Vicky ran into a sister here on the street. Is that the regular way it happens? No. You're more liable to get tomatoes and eggs, and they don't appreciate your operatic voice. But I'm telling you, they say, does it work? Oh, telling about Jesus always works. If it doesn't work in them, at least it'll work in me. There's going to be 1,000 unwritten laws out there that says, don't mention Jesus. And some of you are going to have to come to the place where you're going to decide, are you going to please God or men? John chapter 1. Stephen gave his butt. Now I'm going to give my butt that keeps me going. Sad state, isn't it, that he came unto his own received him not? Watch it. Verse 12. You ought to memorize this. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it'd be worth every minute. It'd be worth every month. It'd be worth it to risk my reputation and my comfort zone to open my mouth one more time. And I'm telling you, you may be alone. You may be scorned by this world. That's what the church is for. The church is to come in and get charged up. And then you get out there and you get wrung out. And then you come back and you get charged up. And then you go back out there and you get wrung out. Let's stand this morning. You know what I believe, you that are going out into the workplace and the college? I believe we are at a point of unprecedented opportunities to reach people for Jesus Christ. People are hurting. But here's the trouble. We're lumping everybody. Well, I'm going to a secular university. They must all be like the people on CNN. Yep. Don't tell them. Rikuya from Japan. Oh, Japan, how can you get more secular than Japan? Hey, you want to come to church? Hey, you want to come to a meal? Hey, have you ever read the Bible? People are hurting. Don't look through the eyes of the bad news. Look through the eyes of the Bible and claim some promises. I'm glad 36 years ago somebody looked at I was just like you. What a risk you took. What a risk. This loud mouth that mocks people like me. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't cool enough to win me that way. He is now. You want to get to higher ground, Christian? Get to the point where all my day wants to be filled with just pleasing God and let the chips fall where they may. And here's the thing. You might be surprised that if a year from now there's not a Riquia or a Miriam or a Lauren or somebody sitting in your row with you because you stepped out.
291.
Pray it. Would you with me?